In the gospel reading today, it's quite evident that our Lord is speaking to his apostles about his second coming, the fact that they know neither the day nor the hour. He is the bridegroom who is coming for his bride, which is the church. Each one of us, of course, being a member of the church, we are members, therefore, of the bride. Now, that said, we also have to recognize the way that the parables work, that we have these bridesmaids, or the virgins, as we hear of them. They are members of the wedding party. So they're not the bride in the wedding, but we have to understand how this is all working. We're all members of the bride. When you talk about the bride, there can only be one, obviously. And so when we talk about the church, the members of the mystical body, we're talking about a huge number. So it wouldn't really work too easily to talk about the brides, because there is only one bride, and that's the church. It's just the church is made up of so many. And so our Lord then speaks of these bridesmaids, the virgins who are there. And the question has to do with the oil. The foolish ones didn't bring oil, the wise ones did. And it's not really, again, so much about whether or not they got into the wedding feast as the bridesmaids. It's a question of whether they get into the wedding feast as the bride. And so when we hear them say, the foolish ones to the wise, give us some of your oil, and the wise ones say, no, there may not be enough for us and you. Again, where that limps a bit is in the reality of what we're talking about here, because we're talking about the second coming of Christ. And so we're talking about the merit that you have. We're talking about the spiritual life that you have. It's not something you can give to someone else. It'd be like saying if someone were going to run a marathon and they were about 10 miles out from the finish line, and they said, I don't have the strength. Give me some of your strength so that I can make it to the end. It's like, you can't. I mean, you see some of these people that fall down 100 yards or so from the finish line, and some heroic individual comes along and picks them up and helps them to make it to the finish line. But if you were a mile or two away from the finish line, there's no way you'd be able to do that. But neither can you do, I suppose, in a spiritual sense, what would be a Vulcan mind meld. You can't infuse your strength into this other person. You could say, well, I have enough to run 30 miles instead of 26. You've only got a couple of miles left. Here, let me just give you a couple miles worth of my strength and you can make it. You can't do it. And so that's the way it is with merit as well. You cannot give your merit to anyone else. You can offer things for other people. You can offer up whatever you're going to gain for the souls in purgatory or for other people even on earth. But the merit you cannot give to anybody else. So even there, you can't say, well, let me give you the extra that I don't need. Because until you're in heaven, and your extra merit becomes part of the treasury of the saints, you can't do that. And so therefore it's incumbent upon each of us to make sure that our spiritual lives are in good order so that we are prepared. And because we don't know when the Lord is going to be coming, and if I've got it right, he's not going to be coming right away here, but rather the church is going to go through this purification. But even with that, we have to make sure that we're prepared. How are we going to make it unless our prayer life is in good order? If we look at what's going on, people have thought, myself included, that this would have happened a long time ago. It didn't. How many times over the years have people thought that the end of the world was upon us? They dug bunkers in the ground and they crawled in there with all their family and friends, and people find them years later dead in there because they were going to save themselves because the end of the world came. Well, it hasn't happened. All those people died. They didn't have enough to make it to the end. So whatever is going to happen is going to be in God's time. And it's dragging on and on and on and on and on at this point. And people are getting frustrated. People are walking away. I had a phone call today that somebody said, "We're just amazed, not so much by the number of people that are walking away from Christ, but who the people are that are walking away." They were the proud ones, usually, who were saying, "I'll remain faithful. I would never turn my back on Jesus. I would never walk away. I will do this by my own strength. I can handle this myself." No, we can't. This is a supernatural battle. It's a spiritual battle. To handle it with our natural strength, we can't. We have to have the spiritual strength. That's where the spiritual life is necessary. If we're going to sit back arrogantly and think that we can handle this ourselves by our own ability, it isn't going to work. So we have to make sure that our prayer life is in good order, and not just for the short run, because this isn't going to be a 100-yard dash that we're going to be taking part in. This is going to be a marathon. You need to have a deep and profound and ongoing prayer life. Anything short of that isn't going to work. Now, we just got word, yesterday or the day before, that there's another document coming out, looks like in typical fashion. It's going to come out on the Feast of Our Lady of Mount Carmel. They like to do this to Our Lady, give her lip service and then destroy the church on her feast days. They're going to shut down the traditional Mass. Once and for all, they're going to try to make it as, and they've made that very clear. This is going to be for forever. This is going to be the final one. This is it, blah, 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 blah. Okay? What are we going to do if we don't have the sacraments? Because as I've told you before, that's not the end of it. They need to do this because there's a different purpose. I think once they can get rid of the old Mass, they're then going to implement a false Mass. They'll take the Novus Ordo away, and they're going to put in something that will be invalid. But then nobody has the traditional Mass to turn back to, because they've taken it away. So what are you going to do when there are no sacraments? When you don't have easy access to be able to get to Mass or to get to confession? Because you also have to know the churches are going to be closed down. The bishops have already done it once. It worked so well, they're going to do it again. You know it's coming. Let's not fool ourselves into thinking all that's behind us and they learned their lesson and this isn't going to happen again. Yeah, it is. That was a test run. And it's going to be way, way worse. What are you going to do? How are you going to handle it? If you don't have a prayer life, you're not going to handle it. If you have a prayer life, you'll be fine. It's not going to be fun. It's not going to be easy. But everything is there that you need. So that's why this is so important. While we can, yes, thanks be to God, we've got Mass and we've got confession, we've got access to the sacraments. The day is coming when that isn't going to be a possibility. Don't wait until that day to start praying. Because if you're going to wait until then, what's going to happen is you're going to get so angry about what's going on that you're not going to pray. Get it in order now. So that when that happens, you can just keep moving along. You'll be fine. If you don't have it in place, you're going to quit. You're going to get frustrated. You're going to walk away. So we need to put our faith in the Lord We need to trust him. We've given him a lot of lip service. Now we have the opportunity to put it into practice. And we have to see this from a divine perspective. This is such a glorious opportunity. I'm not saying these people have goodwill. They don't. We know that. That's not the point I'm making. God, however, has goodwill. Whatever malice anybody else has, who cares? What's God want? What's he doing? He's going to test us. He's going to see if we're going to remain faithful. He's going to make us into saints. And he is giving us the greatest opportunity in the history of the church. So are you going to whine and complain? Are you going to be angry? Are you going to shake your fist at God for allowing this? Or are you going to praise the Lord? And are you going to give him glory because he's giving you a glorious opportunity? You see, those are the two options. One is going to be people with no prayer. The other is going to be people with prayer. So focus on the prayer so that you've got the oil that you need to be able to get through this. You have it all. The Lord has given it all to you. Maybe what's happened is we've taken it all for granted. Maybe what we need is to have it taken away so that it will shake people up a little bit, make them recognize what it is that they had, so that when it's finally returned, we won't take it for granted anymore. Whatever the case, doesn't matter. All that matters is that we remain faithful to the Lord. So stick with his mom. This is her time. She will keep you close to her son. But don't wander from her. Don't try to think that you've got a better way, that you know a shortcut or whatever. It isn't going to work. Get the prayer life in order. It's the only way. As long as that's in order, you're going to be fine. You're going to be like those wise virgins. You're going to be like the bride who is actually prepared for when the bridegroom comes. You'll be fine. The light will be burning. You go right into the wedding. Otherwise, the light burns out. The bridegroom shows up. You're sound asleep or you're off someplace getting what you think you need, and you miss the whole wedding, and you were supposed to be the bride. Don't miss your own wedding. Make sure you have what you need so that you will be the worthy bride, that when the bridegroom comes, whenever he arrives, doesn't matter. He'll find you ready. He'll find you prepared. That's what this is all about. And what a glorious gift it is that God is giving us. So don't squander it. Make the best of it. And become the greatest saint, the greatest bride, the greatest beloved that Jesus can possibly have from you.